thought leader and influencer. This is Luba Mayegiso and the Africa Report.
Good morning, Luba, and it's lovely to speak to you again.
Good morning, Kat. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Happy Mandela Day.
Thank you. Thank you. It's raining in Cape Town, so we're soaking wet.
Oh, gosh. Okay. You know what? It's better than you having to go down to collect the water for your wife.
I still have to collect the water, remember?
Do you?
You know, yeah, I do. So it's not about the drought anymore, but she likes the spring water. So every twice a week, you know what the worst part was? You know, so I do the school run. So the one morning I get up and I'm nice and late. So I literally just put on my jeans, put my slippers on, and I drive to school. Then I get this text, please fetch some water. And I'm like, I'm not dressed to go out in public and go and fetch water. And she's like, just one bottle. I've said, does it matter if it's one or 10? I've got to go and stand in a queue.
You're a good man.
You know, I can't go barefoot. It's cold. So the things that we do.
The things we do for love. Luba, yeah. You know, when we look back at our history, talking about Nelson Mandela, we look back and the facts of history will tell us that Nelson Mandela ushered in a peaceful transformation. We are the only country that was able to transform in the way that we did without a war. It's actually incredible that we became a democracy without a war. And that I attribute to the leadership of Nelson Mandela. And yet, in the last few years, hearing a different narrative. What's going on?
Well, you know, legacies are very interesting and very difficult to work with, because I think, you know, if you rewind, okay, let me put it this way, the way I look at it, it depends who you talk to. The politicians will always bring up Mandela when elections come up, you know, the legacy of Mandela, what Mandela wanted, the reconciliation and so forth. So that becomes very big when elections are around the corner. But if you look at the ANC in totality, you'd have to say, you know, Oliver Tambo played quite a significant role from the early 60s, going around the world, building the ANC and explaining to people what the ANC stood for, that it was non-violent, and this is a dream and the vision the ANC had. So for me, what I always find intriguing is that somehow that role, which spanned literally from the 60s to, you know, almost 1990, gets thrown in the dustbin completely. And I think that's where a lot of the hard work was done. Now, with the legacy of Nelson Mandela, do you remember as well, I don't have the stats, if you go around South Africa today, and perhaps some of the guys in your team, I don't want to talk of people's ages, but there are a lot of born frees who don't necessarily know Mandela much, you know, when he was president, maybe they were 2 years old and such like. So the people who will remember him being incarcerated will be you and me and people like that.
Yeah.
So here's the challenge. So I put this to a couple of social groups and I said, Mandela Day, do you celebrate? What's the legacy? And I think part of it, yes, there is revisiting the legacy, but I think there's a huge part where people just aren't really interested. And I don't think it's really about Mandela, but we've never really celebrated heroes in South Africa. You know, you might find in the Zulu Nation, there might be Shaka, you know, there might have been Paul Kruger, but there's never been a figure where all of us say, this is a person that we celebrate, we honor. It's always been in that community. So I think, as a people, we're not really used to holding up somebody and saying, like, let's say a George Washington or somebody, this is a person who defined our society until recently. Now, the Mandela legacy, if I look at it from my shoes as a black person, I would say during the student days, we used to sing and toi toi, and he was a rallying figure. You know, we were singing struggle songs, freedom songs, and calling on the government to release Mandela. So he's somebody that we all galvanized and focused around as almost an icon. And came the release and people were jubilant. And I think part of that fascination died when, you know, he was released and became president, at least in the black community. And then what you find, for instance, in the predominantly white community is that he is lauded for reconciliation and nation building and so many things. Now, that means different things to different people. But would I say we're revising it? Yes, to some degree. I mean, I saw a horrible message on one of the social media groups I belonged to yesterday, where somebody claimed that the real Nelson Mandela had died long ago, and in the 80s, and had been released, and we had an imposter. And I said to the person, this is actually quite spiteful and would be hurtful to the family. And I said, you have no evidence. But the person said, look, but we need to consider it. And I said, you know, this is bizarre. Why are we going to those depths? So yes, I think, Kathy, there is that revision happening, because I think some things have not been completed in our kind of democracy project. And so people kind of look and say, where did things go wrong? And I think some people then will lay the blame at his door and say, well, you were leading the negotiations, you led the first transitional government, and therefore this is where we place the blame.
Rather than saying it's actually our responsibility as civil society. Right.
It is, but it's also, I think, the way we structure things. Take, for instance, Mandela Day. So again, when I put out a request and I said to people, do you celebrate? What do you do? I was amazed at how many people could articulate what Mandela Day stood for. But then I said, but do you actually do it? And then the response was, no, I'm too busy. And one person said, why must I do it for one day? It's part of our culture, part of giving, building other people up and all of these things. It's part of our DNA.
That's true.
So why do you do it for one day? So I think the challenge here is that Mandela Day has good intentions, but it becomes an event, and then people just disengage with the event, and people will take the holiday if the holiday comes, but then they'll disengage. And the question is then, who has the responsibility to drive that message of Mandela Day? The Mandela Foundation? It'll be very difficult for a non-profit to do that. Is it government? And when government drives it, you will sometimes, people will say, but there's an agenda. If the ANC is driving Mandela Day, they're trying to, you know, kind of like ride on the coattails of Mandela, so you'll blame government. So it doesn't have any champion that is actively doing it. And the constant complaint you hear from people is that, you know, it's a photo op. You stand there and you do some charitable work and you give food to people or whatever. And after that, you go back to your normal life. I mean, if you look at the Mandela Foundation website, it's got some interesting things: education and literacy, food and nutrition, shelter. So it's got a whole bunch of things that we can do. And I think for me, out of all the ones that it gives the goals for 2019 to 2029, education and literacy is something that's not for me to do. That's a government issue. Food and nutrition, again, that's a government issue. Shelter, that's a government issue. So the only one there is active citizenship, because sanitation is also goal 7. That's a government issue. So it's active citizenship. That's the one that we can rally around. But again, South African citizens, you know, are active for different reasons and motivated by different things. So there is something that we can certainly work around, and all of us, because it will touch on every single part. But again, who's driving it? Are we as citizens going to wake up and realize that we live in a democracy and we participate? Or must somebody kind of push us until we get going? And I think we need that push from somewhere. And Kathy, I don't think there's any quarter that's giving a serious prod to say, come on guys, you've got to do things. Yes, I agree. Yeah. What we're called to do is what we should be living every single day. But we're not.
Lou, I was just thinking about this at Simon here. That perhaps, maybe, if there's so much emphasis placed on reconciliation and not enough placed on justice, well, that is going to tarnish a reputation somewhat. And then having lived through what his grandchildren, you know, if his reputation hasn't been strong enough to leave a legacy in his own family, well, then it's up for discussion. You've got a Danish ambassador saying things. You've got a grandson virulently anti-Israel. It's not exactly the Mandela legacy, is it?
Look, it's a very difficult one to navigate. I mean, look, I'll give you one particular view that I often hear in the kind of devout Christian community. And people will say, you know, you'll get a community that's very strong on their religious beliefs, and they won't believe in divorce, they'll believe in reconciliation. And they'll say, if a man, how could he forgive people who practice apartheid yet fail to forgive his wife? And then some people will say, but I can't buy into the legacy, because to me this is a problematic issue. And so these are the issues that I think for many years we never spoke about, and now people are getting the strength to talk about. Remember, I've said this many times, that one of the challenges in the African community is that it's almost not a damn thing to criticize your elders, and certainly for my generations and generations before. So the younger kids today don't feel that. They feel they can call a spade a spade. So when his daughter made these comments, the ambassador, the question I kept asking was, it's interesting that this comes from his own family, and in many ways it mirrors, you know, Winnie Mandela's own comments. And so then you get the sense that perhaps he wasn't able to convince his own household yeah. on some of the issues that he wanted. And then rightly, as you're saying, then we can be confused as well. So I think the legacy is not as uniform as we'd want it to be. But I think because we were scrambling and almost desperate for an icon and somebody to hold up there, we will almost try and paint as near as perfect a legacy as possible, but he was human, and I think it should be acceptable to say he may have failed in certain things and not have achieved certain things, but there's this overwhelming need to paint almost an angelic kind of icon who was flawless, and I think that's where things go wrong.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear, because we all need heroes.
We need heroes, yes, but I think the heroes must also be human. If we kind of paint them too utopian-like, then people will pick holes and find issues with them. Sorry, Kathy, you were going to say something?
No, I was going to say that's where we need to leave it today.
Yeah.
But always interesting hearing what your perspectives and having these discussions. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful week, and just stay warm.
I will stay warm. It's very cold. I'm off now to engage in some school wars. So wish me luck.
Very nice. You don't need luck, Luba. You have skill.
Not with 14-year-olds.
remember to put on the shoes and take off the slippers.
Look, I'll leave you with this. I've been troubled at the pressure our kids feel, where in this particular school, I won't mention, my daughter was saying to me, Dad, I hear people talk like this to us, and when their parents phone, they revert to their normal accent, and people say that there's a journey to school. As you journey to school, you must start changing your accent so that when you get to school, wow. you can assimilate and you can speak like everybody else. Okay. But when your parents come, you have to, you know, default back to your community accent. Wow. Now, that is interesting.
Wow, that's a hard conversation. Luba, you're going to have a conversation with Howard, and either that or I'm phoning you late, and we're going to have it.